Hello and welcome to another edition of If My Feet Could Talk. I'm your host, Owen. And the last episode went down a scorcher. And, this podcast has achieved stuff I never thought it would achieve. So I had, I'm not long out of teeth. I've had some facts through Spotify, some stats through them. This has made like the top 30% in shed globally. So I was pretty chuffed with that. And it's made some other stats up there. Made the top 25% of something else as well, which when you think about how big Spotify and the podcast world is, it's pretty cool. That was pretty epic. For me, I'm still running every day. Haven't had any races since the last one. But I have hit a big milestone of 10,000 miles in the run streak. That averages something like 7.6 miles a day. And that was 5 days ago I hit that. So I've done a few more miles since then. I am going back to sea early next year. So my run streak, I plan to continue because it'll give me something to do as well while I'm away and on board ship. I'll be running around that thing, either on the treadmill or around the upper deck when I am at sea. And if neither of those are achievable, then I will do at least a mile up and down a flat somewhere just to keep my run streak going. That's the thing. And hopefully I'll have more content as well for the YouTube channel. Of the places that I'll visit while I'm away, stuff like that, so that'd be cool. That's me really. I'm bringing another year of successful podcasts to a close, and we'll move into next year. But that brings me on to my last guest of 2022. He's a young lad. He's not only run 50Ks, 100Ks, and 3 100 milers now, but he has what we call over here SPLDs. He is an autistic man, and he's found a love for ultra running. And I was really keen. We've got to know each other over the last year or so through, maybe a bit longer now, actually, a couple of years, through social media. And I finally got the opportunity to reach out and get him onto this podcast to hear his story, see what his feet have been up to. So, ladies and gentlemen, viewers, listeners, I give you Zach Bates. Good morning. It is over there, Zach. It's almost nighttime over here. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for obviously giving up your time to come on and chat to us. How are you, Zach, and how's the family?
We've been really good.
You're doing okay? You're well, though? You're fit?
Yeah, I've been well. I've been... Held for my 100, so
good. And how's the family? The family okay?
Yeah, they're all good.
Yeah, and how's the dog?
The dog, or dogs, our dogs are good.
I saw on your TikTok you have a young dog raring to go as your running buddy. Is that right?
Yeah, I've just ran like maybe a mile with her.
Yeah. A little more. That's brilliant. I mean, I love running with my dog, as you've probably seen on social media. So for those who don't know anything about you or don't know you, not seen you on TikTok or Instagram, can you tell the listeners and viewers a little bit about you, what you do, what you like doing, and do you work, stuff like that?
After high school, I decided that I want to do a 100-mile race. So I I trained for it. I and I succeeded. I probably did it in about 6 months. Six
And
months.
where do you live, Zach?
Oh, at Lakeside.
Is that which state?
Arizona.
Arizona. So, do you have any snow at the moment over there? Is it or is it quite a warm state?
It's pretty well, it's a little cold, but yeah, it's good.
And are
Thanks.
you still in school now in education, or are you out of education?
I've not really done education recently, so.
Okay. So we obviously got to know each other through social media and the great world of TikTok. I've been sort of following each other now for I'd say over a year now. And I've been trying to obviously find the right time to get you on here. And it's great that you are finally on. So in my podcast, I like to chat to my guests about themselves, because I found a lot of runners have a story to tell, especially ultra runners like yourself and myself and others. There's a reason why we tend to do the crazy sport of running 100 milers and 100 Ks and stuff like that. And I believe our story should be told, because it may inspire others to get out there and achieve something themselves. It doesn't have to be an ultra in the ultra running world, but it could show them that, they can achieve some great stuff. So can you tell everyone, like, as a young child in America, most are sporty kids. Were you sporty as a child growing up?
Yeah, I feel like I was. I go on the trampoline a lot. That was fun for me. Well, I started doing cross country actually in middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was how did you find cross country back then? Because I hate cross country. Absolutely hate it.
Oh no, I just yeah. I just went to
You just
I
ran.
about it, man. Yeah, good.
So, is there anyone in your family that was sporty that possibly inspired you?
Well, so my family, well, my brother, has, and my older sister did gymnastics when they were younger. We both got the black belts. Well, and my dad did too, I think. And my brother later did gymnastics, and he did a little competitively. And my sis my dad is a weightlifter. He's really strong.
So you had a lot of sports surrounding you growing up as a child. Did you think, do you know what, I fancy doing a bit of gymnastics or weightlifting or martial arts like them?
I did a little bit of martial arts or taekwondo.
How did you find taekwondo? Did you find it easy or a bit of a challenge?
I think it was a challenge for me. I didn't really go that far into Taekwondo. I kind of stopped, but yeah.
Okay. So obviously you have what we call over here an SBLD, right? You have autism. When did you get diagnosed with autism? Was it as a child or later on?
Was like 4 years old, so.
At 4 years old. So how did you find then for you growing up as a child with autism in, for instance, school? How was school for you?
School, it was all light for me.
Did you have to have additional support in school, like extra, like one-to-one teaching or anything like
Maybe a little, yeah, a little, yeah.
that? Did you find when you were doing these sports as a child then, did you find them a bit of a, more of a challenge for you because of your autism, or did you find certain sports were, I don't know, seemed natural to you?
Not sure. I just learning's been good for me.
Yeah. Is that when you really sort of, as a child in school doing cross country, you found that was where you your love for running was? That's where you wanted to do.
Yep.
So you're obviously now an adult. You've obviously grown up. And you're now a young man. How are you finding coping with autism in life in general? Has it caused you any barriers, any difficulties?
Just have in school. I've just I don't know. I've been it's been oh good. I helps me focus sometimes things, so it's all good.
And what sort of coping mechanisms have you found to deal with your autism? Is there any coping mechanisms you come up with?
I've walked my own pace a little when I'm excited. I do like going outside and running. It's fun. I might do that if I'm more stressed.
So you've mentioned, obviously, you've mentioned you've found your love for running, and it's possibly one of your coping mechanisms. What was it like when you first started to actually run properly, i.e. train for your first ultra marathon or what have you? What was it like? What was that feeling like inside once you started running out there, ticking off the miles?
Miles, in 10th grade, I didn't really keep track of my miles, but like I think I was frustrated about something, I don't remember. After like 3 hours,
Yeah.
I have no idea how many miles it was. I don't really remember how fast I was going, or whatever.
And you ran for 3 hours, you said.
Yeah.
What was it like when you finished? What was your feeling like when you finished those 3 hours?
I don't know. It was just around my neighborhood. So, I was just wanting to go outside, I guess. Felt better.
You felt good inside. It made you feel really happy.
Yeah.
So you've obviously you just mentioned you ran for 3 hours and stuff. So what was your first ever race?
Well, I did 5 Ks in school.
Yeah.
My first a little longer race was a half marathon. And then that was all good. Went really well. I think that half marathon took me about an hour and 40 minutes. And then about a week later, I went to do a full marathon, and struggled with that. I didn't eat that very much in the morning that I should have. I didn't really have nutrition I should have had. I had a Clif Bar, and I don't think I even ate the whole thing. I did take some goos during the marathon, but I think that started slowing down a lot the last 4 miles or so. And that marathon took me 3 hours and 50 minutes. So it was still, I was happy with
Yeah,
that.
that's and how old were you when you did your first marathon?
Was 19.
19. And how old are you now?
20.
20. So in that time of obviously running your half marathon and a week later a marathon, in a year, you've run 3 100-mile races. Is that correct now?
I ran 2 100-mile races. I ran 100K. That was pretty difficult.
Yeah. So that's quite an eventful year, even for any runner, really. To go from half marathon to 100 miles and then do another one in a 12-month period, really, is quite an extraordinary achievement.
Yeah.
So when you finished that first marathon, not eating properly, having a Cliff Bar, what have you, in 3 hours and a quarter, which is a pretty good time, especially for your first marathon.
3 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah. What it was going through your mind afterwards when you finished, apart from, oh, I should have ate more, was there anything else that went through your mind? Were you thinking, do you know what, that felt really good, I wanted to see what I can do next? Or do you think, you know, I feel like absolute rubbish because I didn't train properly? Or what was going through your mind at the end?
I went real great. I didn't real exactly. I think I still had trail shoes. I didn't get the shoes I needed for the race. It felt good to finish, and I was still ready to try to do more. I won, and a month later, I tried to go for the 50-mile.
A month later. Yeah. So you've really gone proper deep into it after your first half marathon, haven't you? You've proper gone for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hats off to you, Zach. I mean, I truly think it's phenomenal what you've actually have done. And you know, you're starting to shred those layers a bit, as you say. You've done 2 100-milers. What made you decide I want to hit the big 100?
I was seeing videos on YouTube about it, people who are doing these crazy races, running through the forest, and it seemed like a challenge. And I don't know, I felt like I wanted to do it. It seemed like, I don't even know if I could, but like, I wanted to try to do it. I was like, that would be really cool.
And that's fair enough, because none of us know our true limits until we try something we can't do. So kudos to you for that. And let's talk about the training then for this first 100 miler, because obviously this is well out of your comfort zone. You did half marathon, a marathon, and then 50 miles. The 100 mile is a completely different ball game in regards to distance and running and training. What sort of training plan did you have for this 100 mile?
Well, at first I had like a 50-mile training plan. And I actually think I could have pushed myself a little hard during that 50-mile training plan. Then when I started the 100-miler, I was just getting tired all the time, and it was starting to struggle. It just seemed like too hard of a training plan for me. Later, I got Nick Demas to help me. Nick Demas de la Rosa, he's a phenomenal athlete, and he really helped me last just a couple months or so. And during my Colorado, I was doing pretty good throughout it. I was doing some running. The last half was a lot more walking. I think the last 10 miles, I was really struggling the last 10 miles because I was like, well, 15 miles. Because I was like limping. So that was when it was really tough for me.
So which 100-mile race was this?
Christmas cold water.
Okay. And is that in your state or is it out of state?
That is within our states, yeah.
Yeah. So when you obviously stood on that 100-mile start line for the first time, what were you thinking? What was going through your head at that point?
I was thinking that I was crazy. So if I should be standing there.
I mean, I don't think there is many people that don't stand on the 100-mile race for the first time and think, I'm stupid, I'm crazy, what am I doing? Should I be here? There's all these excellent athletes either side of me on the start line. Am I supposed to be here? I think we all go through that phase on our first 100 miles. So you're not the only one to think that, Zach. So you started, what was it like halfway through? So that first 50 miles of that 100 miles, how were you feeling that halfway through? Were you feeling good?
I was pretty good the first half, I would say.
And how was your nutrition on that race? Is it working okay?
My nutrition was great. I did really good with my nutrition throughout the entire race.
That's good. And did you have a lot of support there at the time as well?
Yeah, I did. So my cousins came. They made me signs. My parents were there.
And did you have a crew as well to feed you and change your shoes and stuff like that?
Yeah.
That's good. So you then obviously made your way through that race, and you said the last 10, 15 miles were pretty tough. You were starting to struggle a bit for the last 10, 15 miles. What was going through your head at that point then? Where were you thinking, do you know what, I just want to quit? Or did you think, do you know what, I'm just going to keep going and going until I drop?
Well, it was really tough. I was thinking about stopping maybe, but then I was thinking that maybe I'll keep going because I have still had a lot of time. The cutoff for cold water was 32 hours, and I still had lots of hours to do the last 10 miles, and it wasn't going to take me 7 hours to do the last 10 miles.
And is it a trail race?
It is trail race. John helped pace me through 60 to 80, and Nicodemus helped me. And one of our friends, Sonia, was there, and she was there as a support, I guess.
Yeah, because I saw her doing some videos on social media of you racing on her page. I did see them come up. So obviously you eventually crossed that line. Obviously sore, achy, and all that sort of stuff, but you managed to achieve your goal of 100 miles after watching them on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
What was that like? What was that finish line like and getting that buckle?
I loved it. It was so nice. And got a nice belt buckle. And it felt accomplished. So it was awesome.
Do you think now, looking back on that race, right, that maybe there was some stuff that you learned that you could have done differently?
I think I did do pretty good throughout the race with everything.
Okay. And that then, what did you do? When did you do your second 100 mile? Was that soon after, or was that quite a distance after?
I think it was quite a bit after. It was 10 months after.
10 months after. And you did 100K in between, is that right?
Yeah.
So did you, anything you learned from that 100 mile, did you put into place for that 100K to smash that?
Yeah.
And what 100K race was that?
That was Canyons. And that race had 16,000 feet of elevation gain. So it was a crazy steep race that I haven't done, steep a race with that much climb.
So, what did you find harder, the 100 mile race, which is obviously an extra 40 miles, or the 100K race with all the vert?
I would say the similar difficulties maybe, but the 100 mile was harder for me because I just haven't had as much training that I needed. So yeah.
And what was, obviously, you said there's a lot of climb, a lot of vert in the 100K, but was there like lots of mountain views to take your mind off it when you got to the top of those climbs, or what was the race like for scenery?
The views were really nice. I liked them, and you just that race was nice to finish too. I guess they all are. To finish your races, you feel good that you finished them.
And would you do that race again?
Yeah, I'd like to do that race again.
So I think that's sometimes a testament to a race as well. If you finish it and you think, you know what, I'd happily do that race again, because it sort of shows how well that race might have been put on, the atmosphere might have been. So it's good to hear that you'll do that race again. And what was the atmosphere like? Was there lots of supporters out there? Was
Yeah, there
there?
was a lot of finals, and a lot of them have done these big races. I remember at the beginning of the race, I was hearing these two different people talking about big races they're doing. Like, they were talking about 200 miles and all this crazy stuff, all these crazy climbing races they've done. And I was like, oh, it seems like a lot of, I'm trying to do this race that it seemed like a pretty difficult race. Because it seems like these people have talked about how they were wanting to just finish the race, so like just get under, I don't know. Maybe, I think one of them was talking about getting under 16 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
That race took me 17 and a half, and the race, I did feel a little sick. I did get sick before the race, actually.
Yeah. Is that from
Yeah.
nerves?
I don't know. I think I got food poisoning before
Oh
the race.
no.
I did. I was like sick all day. I was throwing up. It was horrible. I had some mice. But like next day I woke up. I took some IVs. I took like two of them to help rehydrate me. I ate a little bit of rice. I probably wasn't as fueled as I needed. At the beginning of the race, it was just like at the first half, I just decided to go a little slower and just try to eat at the aid stations and everything. I ate a little bit in the morning. Then the second half, I was going about the same speed, and the second half was actually steeper, so.
So you had potentially food poisoning before the start of the race, and you still started the race, and you still did it in 17 hours. Most people probably wouldn't have even started the race if they had food poisoning.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So
I
to me, that shows how mentally strong you are as a character. It does. The fact that you've obviously gone from half marathon to marathon within pretty much a week, and then a month later you did a 100 miler, and then 50 miles, and then you did 100 miles after that, and then you've gone in and done 100K with food poisoning.
Yes.
You are mentally strong, and a lot of people struggle with the mental strength, especially when it comes to halfway through. Like you said, your 100 miler, you might have thought about quitting, but you didn't. You just carried on moving forwards until you got to that finish line and achieved your goal. Do you think that is a testament to your character, of how you've had to deal with things growing up, the fact that you've had to be mentally strong to get where you are today?
Yeah, I think so. I think I got a lot stronger during my training for 100-miler. It's getting mentally strong. I love challenges. I like to it's all great.
So, what is it about ultramarathons? What is it about that goal, that big challenge, whether it's 100K or 100 miles? What is it that really attracts you to want to smash them out?
I think I really just want to go further, I guess. It's great. I like to challenge myself. I like to push what I can do.
Because you're only 20 years old, right?
Yeah.
I say only because a lot of ultra runners, like myself and many others, don't really get into ultra running until they're old and want to go a bit slower. So we don't have many youngsters in the ultra running world. We don't, because most of them are still doing very fast 5Ks, 10Ks, and what have you. So how does that make you feel, knowing that you are one of the younger runners out in the field of all these old runners out there that have been around a long time?
I really feel good about it, and I did decide I wanted to do my first 100 before I turned 20. So it was probably still a few weeks before I turned 20, and I finished that. And yeah.
So what's next? What's big in the pipeline of Zach's races? What's next on your calendar?
Another race I'm thinking about doing is Coca Dona 250.
Right.
250
miles.
It's goes through that May 2024. I'm thinking about doing it.
And is that 250 miles in one go, or is it split up over days?
Well, you got 5 days to finish.
Yeah.
And people do regularly rest during those 5 days. Stop and sleep. A lot of people just sleep a few hours a day, though.
Is that similar to the Moab 250? That's over your direction. Is that a similar race?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty similar. It's starts in the desert and go to mountains and stuff.
And what is there any other 100 milers that are on your radar? Is there any invented or looking to enter?
Well, I'm signed up for Western States. I got drawn for that with one ticket, which the odds of that is really small. There's like 40,000 tickets. And they draw like 270 people, I think. And I got drawn.
Mad. So you're in the Western States.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an iconic race, especially even to us over here in the UK. We have a few people I know that have either run it or waiting to get a ballot place for it. That's great. And when's Western States?
Western States is in June.
In June. That's brilliant. So that's going to be quite right in the middle of summer. That'd be nice and hot. But that's got a strict cutoff as well, hasn't it?
It's a 30-hour cutoff.
Yeah, it's 30 hours or nothing. There's no, you're not a finisher if you don't, even if it's 1 second over, isn't it? They're quite strict.
It's well, you'd finish, but you would get a technical DNF.
Yeah. That's, you know what? I am looking forward to following you for that one because the Western States is on my radar. I'd love to run it. Who knows, one day I might do, but I'm looking forward to following your journey on that one. We'll move on now to our quick fire questions, Zach. It's the round where I ask 10 questions and get a quick answer. Sometimes with my guests that I don't, but don't worry about it. We'll just go with the flow. So the first question, do you have a snack you like to use all the time on the run? Is there a certain type of snack that you always use?
I regularly use goos. I like pretzels and stuff. I like eating noodles during the run, and I like bananas and pickles.
Cool. Do you have a bit of kit that you sort of like always have to have? Is it like a buff or a certain type of trainer? Is there a certain bit of kit that you always have to have on a run or race?
I regularly always use my watch.
And what watch is that?
I have the Garmin.
A Garmin. So, what's the best race you've done so far?
My best race I've done so far? That would be hard to say. I think I need to say my first 100 in Colorado.
It's always going to be special, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Pineapple on a pizza, yes or no?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Okay. If someone was to play you in a film, Zach, all right, about your life, which actor would it be? Who would you have playing you?
That would be a tough. I'm not sure about which actor. I don't know.
I reckon a young Brad Pitt will probably pull you off.
Oh yeah, that sounds good. Sure.
I think if a younger Brad Pitt might be able to portray you quite well. Okay, if there was a song about you, Zach, a song that sums you up, what would it be?
I think I have a tiger. Sounds good.
Nice. Classic. Yeah. Have you ever tried the British classic food Marmite?
I've never really tried that.
Well, you're gonna have to get yourself some and try some. So either you love it or hate it type of food. There's no in between. Is there a bucket list? Obviously, you've already mentioned the Western States and the 250, but is there any bucket list race outside of the United States that you would like to give a go?
I would like to go to UTMB.
Nice, over in France. I think you would love it there. I think you would. I think you would excel at that race. I think you'll be an experience that you will definitely love. Okay, so is there a place that is like your favorite that you've ever been to anywhere in the world that you love going to? It's always like up there, warms your heart whenever you go.
You like a lot. It's a few different really fun vacations. I liked Hawaii and Puerto Rico. They're both fun tropical islands. We had some good hikes on both of those. We went to the bioluminescent waters.
Yeah.
It was glowing when you touched it. It was really cool. That was in Hawaii, I think. Well, that was in Puerto Rico.
Nice.
When I visited my sister in Seattle, there was this really cool forest. There was a rainforest.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun there. I visited Sarah. She ran with me. Yeah, Sarah Whitman.
Oh, yeah, Sarah Whitman. Yeah, I know her. She's cool. Is there any ultra runner that is like your inspiration or you love to follow their races and their adventures?
There is multiple. I like Dean Karnazes. He runs really far. I like Jim Ramsey. I like Kipchoge, he's crazy fast. I understand how he ran a marathon, like 14 miles per hour the entire for like 2 hours.
I know, that's it.
I don't know. And it was memorable, so.
So one day you could be on the start line of UTMB with Jim Walmsley, couldn't you?
Yeah, that sounds.
You never know, Zach. You never know. So
good at running. Deep hills like crazy. I saw that he ran Mount Everest in 26 hours.
Yeah, nuts. I remember watching that. It's yeah, he's another level, isn't he?
Yeah.
So before we sort of finish towards the end of thing, I do have some additional questions. Like, so what is your fastest? Do you have a fastest mile time?
Yeah, I think I was a sophomore in high school and I ran this. Oh no, I was a senior. I went at 5:09. As a sophomore, I went at 5:15. So it was a whole lot faster.
Okay. Do you what's your 5K time?
My 5K time. Okay, this one was when I was a sophomore in high school. That was 18:17 5K.
And you've just done a 10K time trial. What did you get in that?
I did the 10K. I've not really done 10Ks. I've done a couple months apart from each other. But this most recent one I just did yesterday took me 41:27.
So what do you reckon if you were trained specifically for a marathon, road marathon, we talk about that horrible black stuff, not the great trail stuff that we like running on. If you were to specifically train for a marathon, full marathon, what do you reckon now your time would be, considering your first marathon was 3:15?
I think I'd run close to a 3:20. I'm gonna do the walk and roll marathon in like a few weeks time. It's January 15th.
Do you reckon you could push closer to sub 3?
Yeah, I think I could get closer.
I think it's possible the way you're training at the moment, Zach. Do you know what? Those answers were brilliant, Zach. We're going to finish now. Do you have any advice for anyone like yourself, Zach, with SBLDs and stuff who want to start running or just get into a sport in general? Do you have any advice for them?
To just think about how to just have fun, go out. Do it and like running. There's multiple sports. You'll find some sport that you really love if you try to look through them.
That's brilliant. And anyone wants to follow you on social media, how and where can they find you?
Running.father.
And what media channels are they on?
It's on TikTok.
On TikTok. I will put the links in the description to follow this. Zach, it's been absolutely amazing having you on my podcast. I know it's not an easy thing for you, all right? But once you start talking, you don't stop, do you? You know what I mean? It's been fantastic. And what will happen is I'll pause our recording and then we'll have our little finished chat afterwards. But for the podcast, Zach, thank you very much for coming on. And that was Zach. What a great guest he was. And speaking to him and his mum afterwards, you know, this is his third podcast, and each time he's getting more and more confident in talking and communicating. And it was brilliant. Once he got going, it was fantastic. And I learned quite a bit myself. having never had an autistic guest on before. So that was new for me, and it's a great learning experience for me as well. And I really enjoyed it, really learned a lot about this young man and what's driven him to, you know, go from not running to half marathon to marathon to 50 mile to 100 miles in such a short period of time. It was fantastic. They have told me there's a documentary coming out. The trailer is out. I've put the link in the description. Just go check it out, as well as the GoFundMe page to help get the main film finished. So please go check that out, and what have you. But yeah, it's really good. But for me, this is the last episode of 2022. And the last of this season. So I'd like to thank every viewer and listener to the podcast for the last year that have tuned in and listened and stuff. It's been really good, and your support is fantastic. I didn't know this would ever take off as well as it has. You know, and maybe, who knows, I might push it even harder and be more regular. But for now, I can only do it when I get the opportunity. So, thank you all. Merry Christmas. Have a great new year. And I'll see you in 2023. You've been watching If My Feet and listening to If My Feet Could Talk podcast. I'm Owen. Until next time, I'll catch you later. Stay beautiful.